Chapter 36. Sunday, 10:37 p.m. Lucy groaned as soon as she heard Fletcher's choice of a meeting place. The man might be psycho nuts, but he wasn't stupid. She'd been to those playing fields with Megan's soccer team. There were two soccer fields stretched out side by side, wide open, no way to set up an ambush. Worse, it was surrounded by forest. Trees zigzagged with jogging trails. No way to cover them all, not in the time allotted. So she was pretty much screwed. Unless she could come up with something brilliant on the fly. She had to assume Fletcher knew they'd be there. No way he'd trust Ames not to call them. And Fletcher knew law enforcement tactics. Maybe it was time to drop the rules and borrow a play from the bad guy's book. No such thing as fair in love and war. And since she'd be out of the job by morning, this was definitely war. She finished making her phone calls, calling in favors and setting in motion a logistical nightmare. Then she called Burroughs back. Technically, Pittsburgh would be running the op. She wouldn't even really be there. On paper, that was. "The only parking is at the Nicholson Street entrance," she told him. "Bring Ames in that way. Make sure her cameraman and the van are stopped at least a block away. One civilian is more than enough to worry about." "Won't Fletcher be watching the park entrance?" "Of course, which is why we're using it. If we take it over, he can't use that entrance, or, more importantly, exit. We limit his options."
"He might not show."
"Trust me, he'll be there. We're playing his game. He's the maestro, remember?"
"Did the ME find anything at the nursing home?" Burroughs continued.
"Apparently, Alicia wasn't as weak and fragile as she made out. She stole both the cell phone and the med she overdosed on from her next-door neighbor."
"I'm 3 minutes out. What's the plan?" Burroughs asked. "You have a double for Cindy? Going to make a switch here in my car?"
"A double? Only if Lucy could gain 6 inches and undergo some serious plastic surgery in the next 10 minutes. Burroughs obviously had no idea how far off the reservation she'd strayed. She was already ducking calls from John Greeley, Grimwald, and the PBP's public information officer. Thank God the SWAT leader wasn't in the loop, or he'd know that as soon as she answered the summons from on high, she was as good as suspended, maybe even terminated. But she'd deal with all that tomorrow, and most likely for many days to follow. Didn't matter if she got Ashley home alive. "Just bring her to the parking lot and we'll go over everything," she told Burroughs. There was a very uncharacteristic hesitation from Burroughs.
"You're not planning to let Cindy meet him herself?"
"Not if she doesn't want to."
"Of course she wants to. She's a freaking reporter. She'd sell her soul for a story this hot. That's besides the point."
"Legally, I can't stop her. If she wants to walk onto that playing field, she's allowed. It's still a free country." His disappointment vibrated through the airwaves.
"You played me, Guardino. I never expected that. Not from you."
He hung up before she could attempt to defend herself. But of course, there was no defense. She was about to allow a civilian to put her life on the line, all in the hopes that she could save one girl. Lucy twirled her wedding ring. It slid loose on her finger as if she'd lost weight in the past 2 days. She'd lost something. That was sure as hell for sure. It was worth it. It had to be. Jimmy watched Lucy through his binoculars. He'd taken the precaution of stealing the vehicle GPS tracking codes before he left the federal building. All the better to know your opponent's movements. And Lucy had been a busy girl. Not for long. He'd read enough field reports to know she'd have her people deployed around the possible escape routes, spread too thin to see him in the last place they'd look. Black blazer with a full complement of antennas, tinted windows, and pilfered FBI plates. He was a ghost in their midst, parked a dozen spots away from Lucy, half hidden by the shadow of the SWAT team's van, and no one was the wiser. He reached across Ashley and opened the glove compartment. He handed her a snub-nosed revolver. "You ever shoot a gun before?" She hefted the gun, said nothing as she raised it and aimed out the window at a trash can. "It's real easy. Just point it like you are now and pull the trigger, but be careful. There's a bullet ready to go already." He eased the revolver away from her. "Do you think you can do it? Shoot someone?" Her face was hidden in shadows, but her breathing became faster, raspy. "Vixen can." "Bobby is too dangerous for you to go after," he continued, not letting her know how much it creeped him out to hear her talk about herself in the third person like that, like she wasn't even there. "I know you'd like to, after everything he did to you. Don't worry, I'll take care of him. What I need you to do is to distract him for me. See that woman there?" The TV reporter, Cindy Ames, was climbing out of a car, assisted by Burroughs, the Pittsburgh detective. They seemed to be arguing about something. "You see her? The lady in the red suit?" Jimmy asked, even though Ashley was looking right at Cindy. "I need you to follow her into that field, aim the gun, and fire at her. It doesn't matter if you hit her or not. I just need a diversion so I can get to the real target. Can you do that?" There was a long moment of silence before she nodded.
"Say it."
"Yes, I can do it."
"Then you need to run back here to the car as fast as you can. They'll be chasing you, so you have to run fast. If they catch you, they'll send you back to your parents, to your old life, to a life where Bobby can get to you any time he wants. You don't want that to happen, do you?"
She wrapped her arms around her chest, as if warding off evil spirits. "No."
"All right, then." He handed her the revolver. "Be careful."
She nodded and slid from the car, hiding in the shadows before vanishing into the trees. Jimmy pursed his lips, hoping it was worth the chance of losing her. But as always, Alicia was right. Ashley had to prove herself. If she passed this test, then he'd know she was truly his, worthy of his love. As soon as he took care of Lucy, he'd have the rest of their lives to devote to her. Lucy had done the best she could. The Pittsburgh SWAT guys had the streets surrounding the woods covered. Ames was playing along, although disappointed she couldn't take her cameraman into the field of fire with her. Burroughs was still steaming, but since he wasn't in her chain of command, he was as protected as possible. All she could do now was wait for Fletcher to make the next move. She couldn't sit still, so she'd set up her command post on the hood of her Blazer in the now-deserted parking lot. A map of the field spread out before her, marking where all her men were, radio communications up and running, night-vision binoculars tracking Ames's progress as she tripped her way across the field. Idiot had insisted on wearing heels. She was tempted to call Nick, get his advice, but there was no time. What she'd done was totally against regs. She'd be lucky if she only lost her job and didn't face charges. But it was the best way to save Ashley and stop Fletcher. A malignant narcissist, Nick had called Fletcher. What happened when he realized Ashley didn't mirror his twisted view of the world? One false move, and she'd be just another inconvenient body to dispose of, like the three corpses in the barn, or Noreen. The image of the Tasty Treat clerk's mutilated face flashed through Lucy's mind. Her shoulders hunched. It ended here, she vowed. "I'm almost to the center of the field," Ames's voice sounded shrill in Lucy's ear. "There's no one here. I'm going to stroll over by the goal box."
"Just stay out in the open where we can cover you," Burroughs said before Lucy could say anything.
"No problem." Ames made slow progress across the field. "There's someone moving over there, in the trees. Is that one of you guys?" "Where?" she asked, irritated by the reporter's vagueness. She trained the binoculars on the trees behind the soccer goal. Nothing there. "To my right. Wait!"
There's a girl. Ashley?
The reporter's cry cut through the night. Lucy watched in dismay as Ames waved to the dark figure hidden by the trees. The reporter actually ran, as fast as possible in heels, towards the trees, ignoring Burroughs' order to stop. The figure separated itself from the shadows. It was Ashley. She was ghostly green in the night vision glasses, but she appeared unharmed. She stepped out of the tree line just as Ames reached her. Lucy's heart galloped.
"This isn't right," she said into her microphone.
"Scan the area. Fletcher would never let Ashley go alone. It's a trap of some sort." The cold touch of a gun's muzzle kissed the back of her neck.
"Good call, Lucy," Fletcher said as he reached around to take her weapon and pocket it.